See, between the two accounts that we find in the Torah of the Meraglim, the one in Shlach says, "Vayidav Hashem Hashlema Shlach v'chol anoshim v'yasur aseres kanan, asher ani nosim v'nei Yisrael." So in Shlach it says that God told Moshe that he should send the Meraglim. Okay? Now in Dvarim, Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, you have a totally different account. So the account starts with really Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Rei nasan Hashem l'kecha l'funecha sa'aretz alei reish, kasher dibar Hashem l'kev asecha loch al tir al techos. The implication is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go without Meraglim. Then it says, "Atikvun elai kulchem, atomer nish v'tomer nishnochal nashnochal neinu v'yachtu manas ha'oretz." V'yeshivos on the dover sederach shenal above esar v'shenav our land. So the people said they wanted spies. Now the spies, the people said, were for one purpose: v'yachtu manas ha'oretz. Okay. Now in Shlach, it says totally different. It says that. Arisa Mesaretz Mahi Vesama Yoshe Veleo Chazakor Racha Matum Ra. Umar Tashu Yeshiba Tovahim Ra. Different thing. Not just Vyachbu Olonasaretz. And then it says Hashmeinu Imraza Yeshba Itzamayin Vishazakam Lakhtam Pri Aretz. Vayamin Yimebi Kuret Olam. So it seemed that Moshe Rabbeinu told them not just to spy out the land but to find out whether it's good or not. And Dvarma just says the purpose was to spy out the land. And then it says that vayikru v'yadim epri aretz v'yirid aleinu, as if they did this on their own. They weren't instructed to do this. The account of Vam is a totally different account. They were just told to spy out the land and to investigate the strategic military positions of the enemy and to return. They never were told even to bring epri aretz, just they brought it themselves. Whereas in Shlach it says they were instructed to bring back epri aretz and to find out whether it's tovahi or not. That's one thing. Then another thing we have is that in Shlach, God told Moshe to send the Meraglim, and over here was the people. The people wanted it. And then it says over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu did so because it was good in his eyes. It means it was his own idea. It wasn't God's idea at all. So how do you reconcile these two accounts? That is the problem that Rashi is dealing with. Why in Dvarim did Moshe Rabbeinu think they should go without spies? Then it seems they presented a valid idea, and Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was good. I mean, what was, first of all, we have to understand, what was the, why did Moshe Rabbeinu change his mind? What was the change of heart in the part of Moshe Rabbeinu? And over there, again, it seems to be all in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, the people, political question. Whereas in Shlach, it seems to be a mandate by God to investigate the land in a specific way. Okay. That's how Rashi answered the Steers of Pesukim. Because the big problems. Over here it says, Shlach Kwan Noshim, V'yisur Esetz Kanan, Mitzvah Zohar Pi Hashem. And in Devarim it says, no, the people came, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided, Yitav Beni Adavar, right? It's an absolute contradiction. So Rashi answers the contradiction, says, no problem. Why? Because we're dealing on two different planes. Devarim seems to indicate that God is not involved. It wasn't God's sivur. And the over here is Shlach Lecha seems to indicate it was sivur Hashem. So Rashi says there's no problem. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a pasuk missing over here. In Devarim, Aleph, Chav Beis, Vatikvarin Lai Kulchem, that was a situation that occurred. So then, before Vayitav Beni Adavar, there's something happened. Moshe was Nimlach B'Shechina. And he asked God, what should I do? Why did he ask God, what should I do? Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't decide. In other words, he thought it was Alei Reish. The plan was it's Alper Hashem Yisro, Alper Hashem Yachna. There should be no investigations. There shouldn't have any spies. It's just go attack the land. And the people said, no, doesn't make any sense. We have to go and we have to spy out the land, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was undecided. He didn't know who's right. So maybe they're right. So he asked God. So what did God say? Now you can't say that God said that they're right, because if you're going to say that, so what's Vayitav Beni Adavar? What do you mean Vayitav Beni Adavar? God said to do it. It was machlekes to Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael. God said they're right. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't, when he asked the question of God, he actually didn't know what's the right way. He thought maybe they're right. Maybe actually that's the way. That was the whole question over here. Should this be done through, like an ordinary spying or not? So Rashi says, so you have a contradiction. One place says that Moshe Rabbeinu decided it was good. The other place says that the God said it was good. So Rashi has no problem. Shlach l'cha anoshim really means was just netilas rishus. What happened was like this. That in terms of God, really, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, what's the answer? Well, who's right? God said, you're right. The ideal situation is, there should be no spies, they should go right away to the land. That's what you should do. But you have on your hands a deteriorated political situation. The people are not on the level, not on the ideal level. That's the daitcha. You're the leader, you have to decide, I'm not telling you. The absolute, if you want to know what the absolute is, I'll tell you. But what to do in this situation where you don't have the absolute, that's your decision. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought it over, and Vayitav Be'enai Adover. That's what Rashi says, Vayitav Be'enai V'lo Be'enai Amakam, Rashi says in Dvar. What does it mean, Be'enai V'lo Be'enai Amakam? It means like this. It means in terms of the absolute, God said no. But here we weren't dealing with the absolute anymore. So you're not dealing with the absolute. He has to decide what to do in this political situation. So Vayitav Be'enai Adover means Moshe Rabbeinu thought that is a political expedient, it would be the proper way to do it. That he decided, yes, politically it would be the best thing to do, and since this is a situation where God said there's no isser on having spies, because the only thing is that the ideal situation is not to have spies. But now it's not ideal, I have to handle it myself. Moshe Rabbeinu had to handle himself, so he thought, Vayitav Ben Adov. Vayitav Ben Adov means as a political expedient. That's what it means. So that's how Rashi answers the whole steer over here.
Yeah, Rashi
nice.
That wasn't good in the eyes of Moshe.
Right? Rashi says, so if it was good in the eyes of Moshe, so why did he say it in the Chachas? So then he says, because Moshe thought that they're going to change their mind. Right? They're going to change your mind. So if that's the case, then you can't say Vayitav Be'enai Adover. So you have a steer, you have a contradiction again. That means you get in trouble. Which way is right? So what's the pshat in Rashi? In the second half of Rashi, what's the pshat? Rashi says this, that really doesn't mean that he was just playing a game with them. Because it says Vayitav Be'enai Adover means that he really thought that it's good for them to send spies. I mean, he wasn't kidding them. He wasn't playing a game like this, like the story there with the Hamar. It's not as what he means from that story is like this. He means, the question was, how could you use this in Tochachos if this is what you thought was the right thing to do? You see? So Rashi answers that in the back of his mind, Moshe was still hoping that they'll return to the absolute. That's why he had a right to use it in the Tochachos. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't think it was good. As a political measure, he thought it was very good. And he was honest when he said, yes, we'll send people. It wasn't that he was just playing games with them. Yeah, we'll send people. As a political measure, it's the right thing to do. But why did he put it into Chachos? The answer is because since he knew that wasn't the absolute, in the back of his mind he was hoping that maybe they'll return to the absolute now. See, maybe when they see that I'm willing to go along with them, maybe this will cause me to try. That's what he was hoping. And since that was what he was hoping, that's why he put it in the Chachos. You see? He put it into Chachos because it still wasn't right. The still remains after Rashi is that in Devarim it says that the purpose was Yachpuru Lanu Asaretz, right? That was what they said, Yachpuru Lanu Asaretz. And really over here when God says Moshe Lo Shechina Amar Ani Amati Lehem Shitova Shenemar El Eschem Eon Mitzrayim Chayehem Shani Nosen Lehem Makom Litos V'Devarim Raglam Aman Lo Yerushua. So you see that what do you mean, Ani Amarti Lehem Shitova? Has nothing to do with it. They said, Shlach Lanu Anoshim V'Yachpuru Lanu Asaretz. And the problem of the other problem is in actually over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the people, says, Arisim Asaretz Mai. He said, Amar Asher Yishba Tova Yimra. Right? Amar Tashmenu Yimrazel, Ayesh Ba'etzim Mayim. It's Chazakim Lakachim Priyaretz. Mayami may be Kurianah. Right? So it seemed that he sent them out here not just Lachbar's arts. Right? Not just Lachbar's arts, but really to bring back the fruit and to show them how good the land is. You see? Yeah. Okay. So the pshat is like this, that the that actually was two things here. The purpose was that they said the overt purpose was lachbar sa'aretz. Right, that was the overt purpose. But really, what was emotionally, what was behind the scenes, what was disturbing them was that they didn't really accept that it was good. That's why it says ani amat lem shitova, and they don't really believe that it's good. Since they don't believe it's good, so that's why they're saying the achbar lan sa'aretz. But the achbar lan sa'aretz wasn't, it was just an excuse, actually. You know what I mean? Actually, they didn't believe it was good, and that's why they were saying the achbar lan sa'aretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies, so he told them to make sure to bring back from the pre-Aretz in order to overcome the emotion that people really didn't think was good. They weren't attached to it. They didn't have the desire for it. That's Rabbi Mann's pshat. The good pshat, it answers the question. The only thing that's a little bit disturbing is, I mean, the lashon is Omar to Yoshua Atova he Imra. Right? You know what I mean? Risa Masaretz Mohi. Risa Masaretz Mohi. Yesh Yetz Megadelas Giborim V'yesh Megadelas Chalashim Yesh Megadelas Achlusim V'yesh Ma'etas Achlusim. You know what I mean? Risa Masaretz Mohi. Achlusim's population. Atovahi Imra. What do you mean Atovahi Imra? Atovahi, but my Yonas is Sahomos, Tovim the Brim, Rashi says, or it's raw, it's a bad. You see? Hayesh bo Eitzimayin. So what's the Pshat Hayesh bo Eitzimayin? How can he say this? God said it was good.
No, you have to prove it to yourselves.
Means that he wasn't serious when he told him that?
No, he's serious. You should go and see.
Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking in a way that he's doubting the very thing that God said. God said it's good, and now he's saying, and you'll see if it's good or not. I mean, what do you mean? That's impossible. It's speaking against the Shechina. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, God told us good. He's going to say, now you'll see if it's good. I mean, as if he's negating, though, he's teaching the people they should doubt what God said. I mean, that's going too far.
Well,
right? They make a concession like that.
Rashi
really said like this. See, take a look carefully at Rashi. Rashi says like this. I think Shaz that Rashi Hell. See, Moshe Rabbeinu received the word from God that's Tova, that's good. But in what particular way it's Tova, he didn't know. What in other words, the thing is like this, you see? It says, Ani amarti lem shitova, shenema, el eschem me'oni mitzrayim, el eretz tova rechova. El eretz, what was the Lashon Pasuk? El eretz, zavas chol dvash. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you see, the thing was like this. Why was it really difficult for the Jews to believe God that it's a good land? The answer is... Exactly. The answer is that the emotions always attach themselves to particulars. See? So the particulars were lacking. God just said it's good. So, the reason why they didn't really believe him wasn't so much that they didn't believe God. But there was no particulars for their emotions to attach themselves to. See? And really, the truth of the matter is that God did it that way purposefully. Because God wanted them to be on a level where they follow the good and abstract. Once you know it's the good, see, it's a bad thing, actually. It's a bad thing to be attached to particulars. See, what is really the most difficult problem that a person has in changing? It's a difficult problem that a person has in doing tshuva and changing. I say doing tshuva, I don't mean from particular chay, but I mean from the whole way of life. From living the material way of life to a higher philosophical way of life. What is really difficult? Difficulty is that a person is convinced. See, and that's basically the difference between the chacham and the rasha. Chacham and rasha. That the rasha wants the good, but the Russia's good is not the good and abstract. He doesn't want the good and abstract. See? He has already identified a particular thing with the good. And once he's identified the particular thing with the good, he can't remove himself from it. Whereas the Chacham also experiences the taivas. I mean, everybody does, because the Yetzer Hara has a head start. I mean, it's the Yetzer Lev Adam Ramanura. But the only thing is that the Chacham is attached to an idea of a good, of a true happiness, which is based upon the concept of a person being happy in abstract. No, he's not convinced in particular. In other words, what he's after is the good in abstract, you see. Whereas the Russia has already, the good has already been embodied in physical forms. Once the good is embodied in physical forms, you can't ask him to pull away. Why can't he pull away? Because that's the good. I mean, you can't, you ask him to pull away from the good, it's impossible. Whereas the Chacham says that, he knows that he's after the good in abstract. If you're after the good in abstract, you see, so then, you say, one second, this might not be the good. Let me take a look at the physical type. Let me see if it really is the good. And, he sees that it's not, he analyzes it, and there's no problem in giving it up. But the biggest problem in giving up the evil is that the person is attached. The good has already been in his mind become embodied by this object. See? So the truth of the matter is when God led Klal Yisrael, he just said it's good and abstract. He didn't want them to be attached to the particulars. He wanted them to be able to follow the idea of the good and abstract. See? But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So that's why what they needed was, they needed the particulars. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, he said, Risa Mesoretz Mai. So Rashi says, Yesh Megadelis Kiborim, Yesh Megadelis Chaloshim, Yesh Megadelis Echlusim, Yesh Memaetis Echlusim. What Rashi meant was, he was telling them that there are different characteristics, different attributes that the lands have. You see? And then it says later, he says, Hatova Hiyamra. What does it mean, Hatova Hiyamra? It's tricky, it sounds like it's good. So Rashi says, no. Atovi, the mayanos u sahomos tovim ubriyim, Rashi says on the spot. See? Rashi says, in other words, the particular way that is good. Does it have mayanos u sahomos? The raw means, it doesn't have those things. It doesn't have those things. In other words, what we consider ordinarily, those we consider that good or not. See, that's what Rashi says that. Why does Rashi have to say that? Tovi im raw. Why does it have mayanos? So Rashi means in the particular, what particular way? I mean, God said it's good, there's no question about it. Maybe there are no mayanos, maybe there's no sahomos. So what? It's good in another way, maybe there's another way that they supply water. But the particular way, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So he told them, he gave them, he said, what the people are lacking over here is the specifics. So what he instructed them to do was to find out about the specifics. He didn't question the general concept that was good. And that was really the underlying problem. The underlying problem was that they couldn't go unless they were attached to some particulars. That was the motivation. See, that was the motivation. So that's why, since they had that motivation, but they didn't want to admit. See, they really didn't want to admit that they had this this problem. So they said, "V'yachpru l'anas oretz." That let them just, so they told Moshe Rabbeinu and said, let's send spies because of military expedition. See? So Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, is it right militarily? No, it's not. But you have a problem, Moshe. You better decide what you're going to do here because there's something. So Moshe Rabbeinu sensed right away that there's an underlying weakness over here. So he looked for the spot where the weakness is. Where did the weakness lie? The weakness lied in the fact that they didn't accept that this is the good. They didn't accept this is the good, according to Rashi. Since they didn't accept this is the good, so now Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sent the spies out, he instructed them to find out the particulars. See? That was his Eitzah. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's Eitzah. He thought to himself, he said, why don't they accept the word of God? What do you mean, they don't believe God? It doesn't make sense. The answer is not they don't believe God. The answer is God didn't give them the particulars to attach themselves to. So when you go, make sure you get the particulars. And he thought that'll solve the problem. See? That's why he said lakachta mepriyaretz. See, that he knew that the priyaretz would be good. You can't say it's impossible to say. He, the only things he asked them arisa mesoretz mai was how in particular it works out. Maybe there are different ways. Maybe this land is different. Maybe it's not my own stomach. Maybe it's a different way that it works out. But definitely the priyaretz have to be good. I mean, eretz zavas chol rush has to be good. So that's why I told them bring back the priyaretz. Then they'll see from the priyaretz. They'll see physically. He actually, what he wanted to do was like this. Two things he wanted to overcome their emotions. One thing was to find out the details, the particulars. And the second thing was to demonstrate to them They should have something physical to see as a proof to attach themselves to the pre-arts. See? That's why I told them to bring back the fruit. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Eitzah. That was Eitzah. Actually, there's no contradiction between both camps, right? You have the one in the Dvarim over here. V'tikvan alai kulchem, nishchon al v'yachbru l'anas oretz, right? V'yashuv esam dover esad derech ha-shen nal above Eitzah orem ha-shen nova aleim. Right, and over here it says that he told him to bring back pre-arts and find out whether it's good or not. And then it says, it's an interesting thing though. We asked another question for. We said, See, it's an interesting thing. In Devarim, it doesn't say that he instructed them to bring the pre-arts. It says, right? So why did Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell Klal Yisrael what his idea was. See? Because he sensed the weakness, and he said, oh, he told the Meraglim, he had a private meeting with the Meraglim. So Klal Yisrael said like this, they said, let's send the Meraglim to spy out the land. So Moshe Rabbeinu, after it was Nimloch B'Shechina, and God said, you better work it out yourself, so he worked out the solution. But he called them in privately and he told them like this. He told them, he said, what we have to do is explain to them the situation. He told them, it's not just a matter of, the people are not really motivated by a military situation here. They really don't believe it's good. That's the problem. So you better bring back the pre-arts. Show them. This will get them. But of course, in the eyes of the people, overtly, they were just going on a military expedition. You see? But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't disclose to the people later what he did with the Meraglim. Because that would really be, he was giving them tochacha. See? And if he would tell them that would break the relationship. Because what he would be saying to them is like this, I knew all along that you people had the weakness and I was working behind your back trying to bring you back. That would lose the whole effect of the tochacha. So he never really told them about the private meeting he had with the Meraglim. But he said no. He said, I tell them fine, let them go as spies, but they themselves brought back. They were so excited about the pre-arts. You see, and he told, when Moshe Rabbeinu had the meeting with them, apparently he told them not to say anything. This is a problem, not to say anything to the people about this, because then it wouldn't work. In other words, the people sense already that in other words, if a leader senses that a person has a weakness, you see the Medrash by Aaron. It says by Aaron a Kohen that how he used to get people to be good. So it says that he would praise the person very much. And the person would walk away and he'd say, boy, Aaron HaKohen thinks I'm such a great guy. If he only knew what I was, it'd be terrible. You know? So he would try to live up to the image that Aaron HaKohen portrayed. So he presented. So that's the way to work with people, in a positive way. Terma mainly is against the negative. You see, the whole Tachacha was only said by Moshe Rabbeinu before he died. It's Kar of Lamas. But before that, there was no Tachacha. Because the Torah believes that the best way is, the only way you can really reach people is through positive emotions. Negative is not going to work. So Moshe Rabbeinu could never tell them. He told them wrong. He said, you can't tell them that I'm doing this. Because on the contrary, this shows that I have a low estimation of them. And I'm opening up a wound. I'm saying, in essence, that you really, I know what you have this weakness. And now I'm going to do this in order to get around your weakness. So first of all, you're showing you have a low image of people, so the people have no image to live up to anymore. You're breaking them down. And secondly, once you expose your whole plan, so then it loses its whole effect. So he told them privately that they should bring back the pre-arts and that they should investigate the particulars. But that was a private thing. The people really sent them as spies. You see? They were hiding behind the military tactic. See? So Moshe didn't let them get away with it. Contrary, you're right. You know, they don't say they don't put them down. Right. We'll send them out as spies. But privately he told them, he says, this is a different problem over here. And you better take care of that by making note of the particulars and bring back the pre-arts. Now when he criticized them, when he gave them since they didn't know about this, so the tochacha he was justified in telling them that, look what happened, I sent them out as spies. So in other words, he never told them really what happened. But as far as they knew, these people just went as spies. And what did they do? They brought back the pre-horrors. which means that they were so excited when they saw this the fruit over there, they had to bring it back to show you how great it is. And nevertheless, you still v'lovisim lalos. You still didn't want to go up. You see? And it explains another thing. It says vayomru tova oretz asher Hashem elokeinu nosen lanu. It says v'lovisim lalos. Puts the blame on the people. Why? Because the way it was worked out was that they really didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu told them to go and to take the fruit, or to tell them that it's good, tell them the land is good. They were supposed to come back and say it was good because they were just overwhelmed by it. So in the Tochacha, so he said, what kind of an answer? What kind of an answer is this? Because it does make sense within the framework itself. It says, "I think we're like Kochem Tamer Nishchal National for Nevi Yachpro Manas Aretz." The Yeshivos on a Dovar. What should they tell us? It's a Derech Hashem Nalebo Veisa Orim Hashem Nova Olam. So they should have said they came back. That's the main purpose, right? No, Marsha Ben Silly is. Vayavod Nachal Eshkol Veragut Vayichav Yerim Pri Aretz Vayirid Lino Yeshivos on a Dovar Vayim Tovar Shirashem Lekin Nosin Lano. So he says. They came back, of course, the military information they came back with. But more than that, you see, they were so excited about how good the land was, they came back and they couldn't stop talking about it. And they brought the priorits. And v'lo avisim lalos. In spite of that, you didn't want to go. You see? That was the tochacha. See, and they didn't really know the plan that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Okay?
Didn't
the Seer himself know whether the... Move. That's what it says. Shlach In terms of perfection, there's no reason to go. This is a political situation. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought it over, and he worked out a plan how to overcome the weakness. He saw what the hidden weakness was. He called them the Meraglim, discussed it with them, told them how to handle the situation. And that was the... he thought that this would work. You just look at the psukim themselves. The way it's said in Dvarim and the way it's said in Bamidbar, there's open steers between the whole thing. So Rashi answers it. Everything fits in very nicely. It was a beautiful plan. Why did it fail? What's the answer? What? An interesting Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayikra Moshe Loshea bin Nun Yoshua." Right? And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Ko Yoshia Chome Atzas Meraglim." Right? What did that mean? What did that mean? Ko Yoshia Chome Atzas Meraglim. From the idea, the council of the Meraglim. What's the shot? What does it mean? So if he knew that Atzas Meraglim, so what is he sending them for? The answer is like this. The answer is when Moshe Rabbeinu had this meeting with the Meraglim, he sensed already that it wasn't completely with him. He sensed that there was something there. So that's why it says, Vayikra Moshe Lo Sheh Benun Yoshua. Vayikra Moshe Lo Sheh Benun Yoshua means that he saw that they're not going along with him. There's some friction over here between him and the Meraglim. So he called, so he said to Yeshua ben Nun, he called him privately and he said to him, look, there's something funny over here, they're not going along 100%. You have to be careful, you shouldn't go along with it, they're up to something. You shouldn't get taken in by what they're gonna do. Be wise and be careful, be wary that there's something going on over here with them. Ko Yoshiachom Yatzas Meraglim. Means he sensed that there was something funny over here, and the only one he could trust was Yeshua ben Nun. So he told him, he says, you should be on guard that they're liable to come up with something which would have the pretext of doing something l'shem shemayim, and really it stems from a weak emotion. So he informed Yeshua ben Nun. That was the last step in his plan. He informed Yeshua ben Nun, you be ready. Something's happening over here. So why did it fail, really? Let's take a look now that we have the hindsight, you can really see. So why did it fail? The plan was an excellent plan. Why did it fail? Of course, it failed because of what Moshe Rabbeinu suspected right away, the Atzas Meraglim. What happened? It's like they came back with the details. It was beautiful. But the only thing is, they came back with one detail that ruined the whole thing. See? And like the Ramban says, it wasn't really the detail. It wasn't the detail. It was how they presented the detail. And the whole thing collapsed because of one word. What was the word? Ephes. See? Because it said like this, when they came back, it says, Bonu, Vayomer, Bonu, Alarat, Sheshlachtonu, Vagamzo, Vaschol, Vashi, Vizepiria. See? So they went along. They really didn't openly rebel against Moshe. It's an interesting thing. Because you see, they said, so they brought back the fruit, you see? And they didn't say that we brought it back because you told us. No! They followed ostensibly they were following Moshe's plan. They were working with Moshe Rabbeinu with the plan. We had worked out the plan together. It's wonderful. We're going to handle the people. It's wonderful. Is that pretty? Now you ask the other question. You want to know if it's Azom and Aram how they are. It's Aram Batsu is good, how they are. Fine. There's nothing wrong with saying Azom Yoshev Baratz because Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Hachazaku Arafa. Hamatu Imrav. You can't come back. You can't be a spy and come back and you have a tremendous military force. You're going to come back and say, a few people there. I mean, it's ridiculous. This was supposed to be true. To find out what it is. So Azam is fine. Aram Batsus Gadol's mode, very good. You leave that Nark Rinashim, wonderful. You have to know what's doing there, right? Amalek Shay Baratza Negev Chivivu, fine, okay, how it works. Very good. The only thing was Ephes. That was wrong. Ephes means but. See, that was the problem. Problem was that what was the Atzas Meraglim really? The Atzas Meraglim was a very simple one. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what the Atzas Meraglim was going to be. But the Atzas Meraglim was that they would come back, do everything Moshe Rabbeinu said, you see, but that the people they were hoping, they themselves were scared. See, they themselves became frightened when they went there. And they wanted to get out of it by having the people say that they're not going to do it. So they figure the people say they're not going to do it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu will say, we're in a political situation here. All right, so maybe now's not the time. So wait another 20 years, whatever it is, and we'll try again later. See? That's what happened. That was their idea, because they themselves were frightened. So how did they do it, though? You can't go against Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, these weren't people who were Shoyim. You know, these people were, they were Tzaddikim. You know, they were Nesim, Kulam Anashim, Roshim, and Yisrohim. So what's the shot? So the only thing is, the way we'll do everything Moshe Rabbeinu said. But he didn't say anything about how you present the evidence. That's the area where there's a little bit of leeway for us to use our own creativity. See? Right. And that was the thing. Efes ki azom ha-yoshev baretz. So the way they told it over, you see, their idea was to instill a fright in the people. So the people, this will get the people going, so the people will refuse to go. See, if everybody refuses to fight, you don't have much of an army. Right? I mean, that was Einstein's plan. Einstein's plan was to stop wars, was to get the people to refuse to arm themselves. That was the thing. If you get only like 20%, something like that, you could wipe out the whole institution of warfare. You want to wipe out all the military institutions. He said you should get the people to refuse to go to war. Massive people refuse to go to war. There's no army. See? So that was the Meraglim simply wanted to get the people to refuse to go. So therefore they'll save face, they did their job, everything's fine, wonderful, people don't want to go. Oh, look, we have to reconsider Moshe. I mean, so maybe they're not ready yet. Maybe we have to get a little more concession, not on the level. Wait a few more years. Till we die, next generation may be on the level. You see that this was their intention. Because as soon as it was out of their mouth, it says, "Vayas kol eved tzom al Moshe, vayomer ola nala v'irashin saki yochel nuhala." See, the what happened was like this: as soon as it was out of their mouth, apparently there was a tremendous reaction on the part of the people. So then Kolev saw this reaction, so he says, "No, ola nala v'irashin saki yochel nuhala." Then already started the whole thing. They started grumbling. Each guy, the people started, Then they asked, once this started already, then the people said already, lo nuchala la salam. They started giving out their own private little, advice over there. Ki chazakom imeno. See? And then the whole thing started. But originally, the Meraglim would never have started without the, people. They couldn't come back and say, first of all, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't come back and say, we're cowards. See? Wouldn't do it. So they had to, what they did was, to get the people to break down. Once the people broke down, then they said already, look, I mean, we can't do it. Obviously, I mean, what? They really said, of course, later, they said,
They said Lanuchalalas. They said we get too deep a search towards Aben Yisrael Lemar Shavama Eretz Achelas Yeshvehi. Then they started throwing different things already. Eretz Achelas Yeshveha. It's a sick place. People are dying over there. It's not a healthy land to live. They gave them the impression of some mystical thing going on there that we don't know why. Everything's wonderful. The fruit's very big, but you don't live too long. Right. So the people are always dying. So the thing is like this. So they mean actually was contradictory, but you see like the giant people and at the same time, Chalitz Yeshveha. But what they said was they worked upon the fear of a person. The person's fear is always of the unknown. So they told them there's something, look, we don't know exactly what it is, but there's some people are dying, there's something, some mystical thing is going on there. It's bad land, bad place to live. The atmosphere, the environment, Russia, the avir is bad. People are always afraid of these things. Like, you know, this. So really what happened was like this. Initially they would not come back and tell the people not to go. They couldn't do that to Meraglim. Because they had to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. They had a certain amount of self-respect. Well, once they came back and the way they presented it, the people broke up into arguments, then they started to come to them, then they gave their opinions already. Then they started to give their opinions. So I said, well, you're right, Slo Nuchal, we're not equipped to do it. Well, you see yourselves, the way people are over here, aren't fighters, everybody's afraid. You're right. You want to know my opinion right now? I say, we're not ready. That's what they said. And then they threw in a few other things. They would not, once it got started already, you see, then they already, then they were, people came to them, asked them for advice, what do you say? They started to give the bad advice, right? That's the way it works. Yeah, well, but initially they couldn't do it. They couldn't make the initial break just to come out and say, we can't do it. That's why the whole way it's presented in the Torah, you see the order of events. They came back with just a slight, just a phraseology, changing the form and formulation, how they give all the information. Then once the whole thing started, then of course already they took a position. They took a position. It's big machlekes here. It's emotion quality zero. They took a position. It's higher quality zero, and that was it. That would be nice to understand. I mean, I don't know if we can really answer, explain it. Is what was really wrong in terms of God's absolute with sending spies into the land to know how to approach it militarily. And what was really wrong with that? As a matter of fact, you see when Yeshua really conquered the land, he did send Meraglim. So what was really wrong, according to Rashi, with sending the spies? Nishlacha nashlan fanenu. V'yach v'lan asaretz. What's wrong with that? Point in Rashi's pshat. I mean, Rashi's whole pshat is beautiful, but the problem is, why? What was wrong, really, with sending spies? Ani eini rotza. Ani eini rotza. What is the lashon over there? Ani mitzavalach. In tirtza shlach. You want to send, right? What do you mean? I mean, you have to send. What's the kind of answer?
Hold on.
Apparently, yeah. Lay reish means let's go. I'm going to go up. I mean, what, you going to just go up there and fight without any spies? It doesn't make any sense.
Why can't you?
Nice.
Yeah, but God told you.
This is Ramban. The essential machlokes between the Ramban and Rashi really boils down to whether or not that was the right thing to do, sending them out. The Ramban says it was a rational thing to do because whenever you attack a country, that's the way to do it. And it would be fanatical to rely on God and just say we're going to go. That's ain't something all nice. The right thing is to use your own rationality and figure out exactly how to attack. That's what the Ramban says. Whereas Rashi maintains no, that they should have gone without the spies investigating. Rashi, we have to understand according to Rashi, what does it mean that we're just gonna go run up in the land, rearm yourself, and go? We don't know where you're going. That's crazy. That's dumb crazy. It's suicide. So what's the pshat? So you must say the pshat. You see, like the Ramban says, what? Is that they the onan was there? They had the onan. The onan would show the way where to go. That's what the thing was. You see. The Ramban says, "Valdas Rabbi Sina Chatu Ba'omer Nishchal Nashal Fenero Bavur Shem Rosh Yoshem Vayelam Lelechas Achrei HaOnon Elasher Yishamor Roch Lelechas." The Onon was guiding them all along, so the Onon will continue to show them which way to go up the land, and that's the way they should have followed. Show them the way. That's what you have to say. So, but what happened? What happened was like this. See, what happened was that when the Arnon was going in safe places, so they felt very comfortable following the Arnon. See? But now that the Arnon was going to move into dangerous territory, so emotionally they started to feel that just to rely, they couldn't just rely on the Arnon. That was the thing. They had to have the security of the knowledge of what exactly they're doing and where they're maneuvering.
See?
Right. that was their weakness. But they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. When they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so they said like this. They didn't say that, of course. What they said was that maybe, really, God doesn't want us. God, the Arnon, led us to here because we couldn't get here. But now that we're here, what God wants us to do is to work it out ourselves. Strategy. That's what they approached Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know. So it's Nunluch B'Shina. So God answered him like this. He said, really, the ideal situation would be if the Arnon would lead. And they would simply do battle as they follow the Arnon. But if they're not on that level, so then you'll have to work it out. They'll have to do it through military strategy. You see? In other words, there were really two possible ways to conquer Eretz Yisrael. One way to conquer Eretz Yisrael was simply to follow the Arnon and just do battle wherever wherever the Arnon leads them. And the Arnon would lead them the right way. See? But they weren't able to do it that way. Because it's like an unknown. I mean, there was tremendous fear. And the only thing that could really stop the fear was that they should know exactly where they're at and exactly they're doing battle with. They should have knowledge of their position, the positions of their enemies. But without knowledge of the position of the enemy, they weren't able psychologically to face the situation. So it was the question of particular knowledge. They couldn't just go and do battle without having an accurate idea in their mind where their enemy is. This gave them the security. You know, the enemy's over here and we're over here, so we're not in enemy territory, and then we understand what we're doing. But they basically argued with Moshe. They said that God doesn't want us to go through the Arnon. The Arnon only led us this far. Now we have to. And now we have to use military strategy. So the only way they could do it was through discovering where the enemy is. That was their idea. That was it. The Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, and God said, ideal situation would be really to, trust the Arnon. Yeah, but the only thing is that they can't do it. They can't do it, so then you'll work it out the other way. In other words, the Arnon was definitely, you can't say they should just see if the Arnon's going to take them in, because the Arnon was definitely going to take them in anyways. But you're right. But they said that what you need is more than that. We really have to have more knowledge than just the going by the Arnon. We have to know precisely where the enemy lies, and God wants us to know more particulars than just the Arnon. See, that was the thing. Perfect plan, really. Why did God really say that they should go in the other way? They should go in without knowledge of particulars. I mean, what's the mile of not having knowledge of particulars? I mean, it might not be necessary. Now, the way Eretz Yisrael was supposed to be conquered was supposed to be that people should recognize this is Al Pi Hashem, and that the Arnon if the Arnon was the only guide, they'd have a different relationship to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. It would be a different thing altogether.
So that's why
the Akash Baruch said the original plan was that it should be really only with the Arnon or Pi Hashem. But now if they're not on that level, then you have to work it out yourself. So,
what thing was that?
Best way would be just with the Arnon alone. So then it'll be a Pi Hashem. But the only thing is they weren't on that level. So God gave Moshe Rashua, said, okay, so you have to work according to their level. Then they should conquer it the other way, conquer it according to the spies.
Yeah.
That was the way. But that way failed. That way failed because the Atzas Meraglim. If it wasn't for the Atzas Meraglim, really, Moshe Rabbeinu's plan would have worked.
Really?
It works so they would have conquered Eretz Yisrael with military tactic, and they would have had Eretz Yisrael. Wouldn't be any problem. The only thing is that the Atzas Meraglim came in and ruined it. You could do Yazir. How come Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies over there? So the answer is because that wasn't Eretz Yisrael itself. Eretz Yisrael itself had to be Dafka al Pi Hashem. That was the idea.
Something else by Yeshua.
Yeshua, right. By Yeshua already, they deteriorated from the absolute. There was no way that they could do the absolute situation anymore. They needed Meraglim over there. And that is, was Moshe Rabbeinu already established that it's right to use Meraglim when they're not on the level. The only thing was that the Atzas Meraglim destroyed Moshe Rabbeinu's plan. Yeshua didn't have any Meraglim, so it was no problem. Plan, like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu's plan would have worked 100%. The only thing is the Atzas Meraglim, even though which Moshe Rabbeinu suspected, but he called over Yeshua but none to be in his side. Maybe he could salvage the situation, but that didn't work either. Why? Because they didn't do anything until the last minute when they made the presentation. See, they made the presentation. They knew the weakness of the people. Because they knew these people were avodim, they weren't really fighters. They weren't brave. And you see, because it says over there, Vayhi b'shalach paras ha'om v'lo nocham alokim derech eretz plishtim kikarvu kiyomar Hashem pen yinochem on b'rosa mochama v'shav mitzrayma. These were the same people. So they knew already that these people, it's not going to take much to frighten them. So a little, you don't have to do anything, just the way you present it to them. Just present it the proper way. Rabbeinu was right in one thing. He was right when he assessed the situation and he saw that they're not going to go directly against him. They was right. They wouldn't go directly against him. And he had the perfect plan. He had the perfect plan worked out. And it would have worked. The Meraglim couldn't go directly against him. He saw the way he saw it, that's the way it had to be. He did sense something, but he didn't know what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu had a proper assessment of Klal Yisrael. He knew that if these 10 people came back the way he instructed them, that the people would go. That he knew. That if Moshe Rabbeinu would have conquered Eretz Yisrael, there never would have been a Golus. That's right. It would be a totally different situation. That's why I say it. But the original way was even Pi Hashem. That's why the original way was supposed to be Pi Hashem. Was supposed to be with the Anan. That would have been a greater, stronger situation. You see, even if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was involved, it would have been so strong that that never would have been exiled. Why the Nesiim were taken? The Nesiim were taken because Moshe Rabbeinu felt that if the Nesiim come back and they give a good report, that they're excited about the land, that this will influence the people. You send two people who are in the Nesiim. That's right, send Barah. You have to send the opinion leaders. By Yeshua ben Nun did not send the Nesiim because he didn't have that problem. Just send Shnayim Anoshim Raglam Cheresh Lemor, two spies. He didn't have to send the Nesiim. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Nesiim. Because this was an emotional. That was just military, right? Moshe Rabbeinu sensed the weakness, so he tried to create a situation where he would get rid of the problem, while he used spying. Rabban's shot was that they should. He's also bothered. Ma'aretz Atovahi and Raw and the whole business. So Rabban says very simple. He says he was only referring to that little piece of land which was right in the Negev where they were camping. You know what I mean? He was referring to that little piece of land because he said if that land is bad, so then maybe we'll capture from another side. It was all military according to Rabban. But in Rashi you can't say that shot because Rashi says that they went up and down the entire land.
Yeah.
See? That's what Rashi says. Come in Gam, Rashi says. They went up and down the entire land.
Just there.
What's the reason? It was in Lamed Beis. V'hoyazeh, what was the chait? Ki ha'noshim o'ele b'rosam ha'om asher kegova arozim gavo v'chosan hu ka'alonim. Very powerful, strong nation. Nofal pachtam aleihem they masu levachayim. What? Like an oak. Oak tree. Chasan huka. Chasan huka alonim. Strong like an oak. Nofal pachtam aleihem they masu es vaymasu levachayim. V'chasher ro ki adayin ho Yisrael noatzim lalos v'yeshuva kolev mechaskim es libam hotziyu diva b'sheket de levad l'liyasam. Yeah, now then, that's it. Then the Ramban explains the way. The Ramban explains the way we explained before. Really. You should look through it. How they politically, how they worked it out. They wouldn't in front of Moshe. They said everything fine, just the way they presented it. Then later, privately, they once everybody started the machlekes already, then they privately they started to work with them. But what was the chayit? It's interesting. What was the chayit? Ramban says that when these people, it's an interesting thing. He says. Of doing any averus, which Ramban doesn't have koyer shir chomai and asas meraglim. It's a different thing altogether. Ramban. Now, according to Ramban, what happened was once they went up there and they saw this nation, they saw it physically. They saw what was going on there. Then they just lost their courage. They simply was a reaction of fear. They were completely overcome by fear. And they just didn't have the courage to do it. That's according to Ramban. That was the chet of the Meraglim. So according to Rashi, what was the chet of the Meraglim? Was that they weren't attached to the good. See? According to the Ramban, the chet of the Meraglim was, according to Rashi, all revolves around the fact they weren't attached to the good, so they had to get the particulars. According to Ramban, the chet of the Meraglim was that they just melted when they saw these powerful people. It was an emotional reaction. So the question is, how could they avoid the emotional reaction? It's an interesting thing. They just lost, they couldn't do it. They were petrified. Whether Ramban describes it, they were just petrified. When they saw this giant nation, nafal pachtam. They couldn't move. Became paralyzed. So what could they do? So it could be they couldn't do anything about the way they felt. That they couldn't, that was a reaction. But they should not, they had no right to distort the truth. Destroy the, that's right, to do not to, what the problem was, the chayg was that they didn't face their own weakness. That's right, they destroyed the reality, they didn't face their own weakness. That's right, one time said that that Lashon Hara, what does this have to do with Lashon Hara? Because the Gemara says that Motzei Dibas Haaretz Ro, Lashon Hara on the land. That's the whole idea of Lashon Hara on the land. So the pshat is, because it's the same thing like Lashon Hara. Since they had an inner emotion, instead of facing the inner emotion, they tried to distort the reality to be in line with that emotion. And that's really what Lashon Hara is. In Lashon Hara, why does a person speak about even if it's true, why do they speak about these bad traits of another person? Because they want to justify their own emotional emotional corruption. They want to justify their own corruption. Instead of facing their own corruption, they want to justify it. So that's the same thing.
It
might be true.
Overall evaluation.
But the reason why you're saying it, the reason why you're saying these facts, is because of a certain bad emotion.
That's right.
You're using these particulars in order to give the person a certain appearance, general image. That's the distortion in Lashon Hara. And that's actually what they did over here. You see over here also. Efes ki azam. What they did was they took one characteristic and they emphasized that characteristic and they attempted to create a whole image of it. They distorted the image.